How to have fun anytime, anywhere. Step one, go to ChumbaCasino.com.
ChumbaCasino.com. Got it.
Step two, collect your welcome bonus.
Come to Papa, welcome bonus.
Step three, play hundreds of casino-style games for free.
That's a lot of games, all for free.
Step four, unleash your excitement.
Woohoo!
Chumba Casino has been delivering thrills for over a decade. So claim your free welcome bonus now and live the Chumba life. Visit ChumbaCasino.com.
Plus, terms and conditions apply.
This episode sponsored by Hume. You're eating clean, hitting your workouts, doing everything right. So why does the scale still look the same? Because weight alone can't show fat loss, muscle gain, or real progress. The Hume Body Pod changes that. It tracks 45 body metrics like body fat, muscle mass, hydration, and visceral fat, so you can actually see what's happening inside your body. With 8 sensors and advanced multi-frequency technology, it gives you a full body breakdown in seconds, right from home. You can even track progress by body segment, arms, legs, and core, so nothing gets missed. And inside the app, you'll get personalized insights to help you adjust and improve over time. Stop relying on a number that doesn't tell the whole story. Go to HumeHealth.com and check out the Hume Body Pod.
Andy and Anna here from your new favorite podcast, No Such Thing as a Fish.
Yes, we are two of the four hosts of the podcast that stuffs fascinating, amazing, weird, mad facts into your ears on a weekly basis. You got any good facts, Andy?
Yes, how about this one? Anteaters have evolved on 12 separate occasions.
Wow.
Mysterious. Wonderful.
The world really wants them to exist. What about this one? When Ronald Reagan left office, he left a note on the White House lawn for the squirrels, warning them to beware of George Bush's dogs.
So there you go. If you like fascinating facts and much more besides, we are No Such Thing as a Fish.
Ladies and gentlemen, the captain has turned on the fasten seatbelt sign. If you haven't already done so, please make sure the volume of this podcast is set perfectly to your listening enjoyment. Please take your seat, whether that's on the treadmill, car, sofa, or bed, and buckle in for the last trip. My name is Jamie Beebe, and I'll be your tour guide, recreating someone's last days in paradise. On behalf of myself and everyone behind the scenes, please enjoy the Last Trip podcast. And because nobody likes a long flight to get to where they want to be, let's prepare for takeoff. Twice, Hannah Upp disappeared. And twice, against incredible odds, she was found alive. After her second disappearance, Hannah moved to St. Thomas in the U.S. Virgin Islands, where she built a new life in a place she called Paradise. For years, there were no more episodes. Then, in September 2017, Hurricane Irma devastated the island. In the chaotic days that followed, 32-year-old Hannah Upp vanished for a third time. But this time, Hannah wouldn't simply reappear a few days later. This is the third, and possibly not the final chapter, of the mysterious disappearance of Hannah Upp. To understand Hannah's final disappearance, you have to understand St. Thomas, because she didn't disappear from the island under ordinary circumstances. St. Thomas is one of the three main U.S. Virgin Islands, sitting roughly 70 miles east of Puerto Rico, where the Caribbean meets the Atlantic. It's small, only about 32 square miles, but incredibly mountainous. Roads twist along steep green hillsides, houses cling to the slopes, and from higher elevations, you can look across brilliant blue water dotted with smaller islands and keys. There's bustling Charlotte Amalie, the historic capital and major cruise port, and then quieter residential areas and the East End, where life revolves heavily around the water. And the water is really the star. St. Thomas has dozens of beaches where people swim, sail, dive, and snorkel in warm, clear Caribbean water. It's easy to understand how someone could come for a vacation and start imagining what it would be like to never leave. On the eastern end of the island, near Red Hook, is Sapphire Beach. And this is the location you really need to picture for Hannah's story. It's almost ridiculously beautiful. Pale sand, turquoise water, and views to the neighboring islands. You can snorkel directly from shore, with coral, tropical fish, rays, and sea turtles found in the surrounding waters. And for Hannah, this wasn't some random tourist beach. It was familiar territory. Sapphire was one of her favorite places to snorkel, on an island where swimming had become part of her everyday life. Under normal circumstances, it probably felt like one of the safest and most familiar places Hannah could be. But September 2017 was anything but normal. On September 6th, Hurricane Irma slammed into St. Thomas. The Category 5 storm brought winds of roughly 185 miles per hour, transforming the island Hannah knew almost overnight. Electricity disappeared, communications failed, buildings were ripped apart, trees and utility poles blocked roads, boats were damaged or destroyed. Thousands of people were suddenly trying to find food, water, shelter, and a way to contact their families. Even the airport had been badly damaged. The control tower was compromised badly enough that air traffic controllers initially worked from a tent on the airfield. Commercial flights were extremely limited as military and disaster relief operations moved in. The water surrounding St. Thomas had changed too. Ports and channels operated under restrictions while authorities assessed damage, and boats became part of an improvised network moving supplies and evacuating people from the island. And then before St. Thomas could even begin recovering, another hurricane was coming, Maria. And people were desperate to leave. Planes, ferries, private boats, and mercy ships were carrying people wherever they could find space. And that's the St. Thomas we need to picture when Hannah disappears. Not cruise ships and beach chairs. It was an island in survival mode. Communications were unreliable. Transportation was chaotic. Thousands of people were displaced. Boats were coming and going. And the physical landscape itself had changed. And only days after Hannah vanished, another hurricane would pass through the region. So when we ask how someone could disappear from an island only 32 square miles in size, the answer isn't as simple as it sounds. Because in September 2017, St. Thomas wasn't simply a small Caribbean island. It was a disaster zone. And Hannah disappeared directly into that chaos.
Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing. Another checkered flag for the books. Time to celebrate with Chumba. Jump in at ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. CTNCs 21 plus. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
Andy and Anna here from your new favorite podcast, No Such Thing as a Fish.
Yes, we are two of the four hosts of the podcast that stuffs fascinating, amazing, weird, mad facts into your ears on a weekly basis. You got any good facts, Andy?
Yes, how about this one? Anteaters have evolved on 12 separate occasions.
Wow.
Mysterious. Wonderful.
The world really wants them to exist. What about this one? When Ronald Reagan left office, he left a note on the White House lawn for the squirrels, warning them to beware of George Bush's dogs.
So there you go. If you like fascinating facts and much more besides, we are No Such Thing as a Fish.
In 2014, Hannah Upp traded Maryland for the Caribbean, taking a teaching position at a Montessori school in St. Thomas. She joked with friends that she was moving to paradise. And for Hannah, it seems like she really did find it. She settled on the eastern end of the island, away from the busy cruise ship docks, in an apartment overlooking the water toward the British Virgin Islands. Hannah affectionately called it her island palace. And professionally, she flourished too. Hannah worked with preschoolers at the Virgin Islands Montessori School, where she quickly became one of those teachers parents remembered. One parent described her as a modern-day Mary Poppins. The head of the school, Michael Bourne, was so proud of Hannah's classroom that when prospective families came for a tour, it was one of the classrooms he made a point of showing them. And the school clearly saw a future in her too. After her first year, they paid for Hannah to attend Montessori training in Portland, Oregon, so she could become certified and eventually lead a classroom of her own. And by the summer of 2017, Hannah had completed her Montessori degree. But St. Thomas wasn't just where Hannah worked. It had become home. She developed a large circle of friends and became deeply involved in island life. She danced, she did Zumba, she exercised constantly. She went out with friends. And more than anything, she was drawn to the ocean. Hannah had always been a strong swimmer, but on St. Thomas, swimming became part of her everyday life. She swam in the ocean nearly every day. She snorkeled. She became comfortable enough in open water to swim enormous distances, sometimes heading towards small islands more than 2 miles offshore. For Hannah, being underwater seemed to provide a kind of peace. Her friend Amy Scott remembered how much Hannah loved the feeling of being beneath the surface, surrounded by the strange, quiet beauty of the Caribbean. Hannah embraced island life completely. She became part of the community. She was known at her school. She had close friends. She had favorite places to swim. And after several years, St. Thomas wasn't an escape or an adventure anymore. It was simply where Hannah belonged. She was 32 years old and professionally more settled than she'd ever been. She had a career she loved, a community around her, and an apartment overlooking an ocean she spent as much time in as possible. For several years, life on St. Thomas had been remarkably peaceful. And then September arrived. And one of the most powerful Atlantic hurricanes ever recorded began moving toward the Virgin Islands. Hannah's paradise was about to change completely.
Third Love makes bras that actually fit, so they know this. If your bra feels uncomfortable, the problem isn't your body, it's your bra. Third Love designs for comfort first. Soft fabrics, support that doesn't dig, pinch, or slip. Bras that feel good and look good under everything you wear. Shop Third Love and explore over 60 sizes, including AA through H, and half cup sizes you won't find anywhere else. Get $15 off your first purchase at thirdlove.com with code PODCAST15.
It is Ryan Seacrest here. There was a recent social media trend which consisted of flying on a plane with no music, no movies, no entertainment. But a better trend would be going to ChumbaCasino.com. It's like having a mini social casino in your pocket. Chumba Casino has over 100 online casino-style games, all absolutely free. It's the most fun you can have online and on a plane. So grab your free welcome bonus now at ChumbaCasino.com. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
On September 6th, Hurricane Irma slammed into St. Thomas. Hannah and her roommates huddled together in the laundry room of their apartment as winds reached roughly 185 miles an hour. Windows shattered, a dislodged power line repeatedly slammed against the roof. And when morning finally came, the island Hannah had known as paradise was almost unrecognizable. Trees had been stripped bare. Buildings were damaged or destroyed. Electricity and communications were devastated. Hannah sent messages letting people know that she had survived. To one friend, she wrote simply, "I don't recognize anything." Now that sentence feels particularly haunting, knowing Hannah's history. But at that point, there was no indication that she had lost her identity. In fact, one of Hannah's old roommates from New York, Manuel Ramirez, had developed a private way of checking on her after her first fugue. Years earlier, they'd laughed about a news report that described Hannah as a friendly vegetarian. After Irma, Manuel texted her those two words, and Hannah responded appropriately to their inside joke. As far as he could tell, Hannah was still Hannah. But the crisis wasn't over. Another Category 5 hurricane, Maria, was approaching the Caribbean. And people who had survived Irma were now desperately trying to get off the island before the next storm arrived. 6 days after Irma, Hannah drove to the home of her ex-boyfriend, Joe Spolino, a scuba instructor. His belongings were gone. His landlord told Hannah that Joe had rushed to the marina, hoping to board one of the so-called Mercy ships offering free passage off St. Thomas. So Hannah drove down to find him. Joe was waiting to board a ship bound for Puerto Rico, and the two spent several hours together. Now, at one point, Joe jokingly asked Hannah whether she wanted to come with him. And she thought about it, but Hannah decided to stay. Joe would later remember something about their conversation feeling slightly off. He couldn't explain it at the time. And after Hannah left the marina, something unusual happened. She stopped using her phone. The following day, Hannah went to the Montessori school to help prepare for Hurricane Maria. One of her colleagues, Norma Bollinger, noticed that Hannah wasn't behaving quite like herself. Normally, Hannah was curious and opinionated. If Norma asked her to do something, Hannah wanted to know why. But on that day, whatever Norma asked, Hannah simply responded, "Yes, Norma." Over and over, "Yes, Norma." It was subtle, nothing dramatic enough to say that Hannah had entered another fugue. But in retrospect, it stood out. That evening, Hannah's three roommates told her they were all trying to leave St. Thomas. But Hannah wasn't, and she explained why. "I'm staying. That's where my heart is. School is going to be the first step toward normalcy for these kids." And I think that's important, because Hannah wasn't simply refusing to evacuate. She believed she had a reason to stay. The children she taught had just watched their homes and their island torn apart. Hannah believed reopening the school could give them some small piece of their normal lives back. The next morning was September 14, 2017. Hannah left home around 8 o'clock. One of her roommates watched her get into her car. Hannah was supposed to go to the school. She never arrived. Now, the following day, there was a faculty meeting, and Hannah missed that too. At first, in the chaos of post-Irma St. Thomas, an unanswered phone or missed meeting didn't necessarily mean what it normally would. I mean, the island was barely functioning. But eventually, Hannah's friend, Maggie Guzman, began calling the people closest to her. And nobody had heard from Hannah. Soon, her friends began searching. One of the first places they went was Sapphire Beach, Hannah's favorite place to snorkel. Near the water was a small beach bar, and sitting there were Hannah's things. Her sundress, her sandals, her car keys. Workers reportedly said they'd found the belongings in the sand while clearing hurricane debris and had placed them at the bar. And then Hannah's friends found her car in the parking lot. Inside were her purse, wallet, passport, and cell phone. Everything suggested Hannah had gone into the water. But Hannah wasn't there. And under normal circumstances, you might immediately fear that she'd drowned. Except this was Hannah. She was an extraordinarily strong swimmer. She regularly swam in open water and could reach the small islands offshore. So her friends didn't limit their search to the beach. They took boats along the coastline. They searched a nearby island where currents might have carried her. The U.S. Coast Guard joined the effort and sent three helicopters to search from above. And searchers also considered another possibility. Maybe Hannah had left St. Thomas. People were desperately evacuating ahead of Hurricane Maria, sometimes aboard Mercy ships offering transportation off the devastated island. Her friends checked passenger manifests, but Hannah's name wasn't there. And then the search ran into something nobody could control, another hurricane. After 3 days, Hannah's friends had to stop searching and prepare for Maria themselves. On September 20th, Hurricane Maria passed through the region, bringing heavy rain to an island that had barely begun recovering from Irma. Once conditions allowed, the search began again. An Army veteran and EMT named Jacob Bradley helped organize another effort. Hannah's friends and family searched on land and water. Hospitals and shelters were checked. Flyers went up across St. Thomas. And this time, the flyers carried an unusually important warning. Hannah had a history of dissociative amnesia. If someone saw her, they shouldn't assume Hannah knew she was missing. Her family's public appeal explained that she might not know where she was, or even who she was. And that completely changed the nature of the search. Because they weren't necessarily looking for someone hiding. They might have been looking for Hannah without Hannah knowing she needed to be found. Bradley told the Virgin Islands Daily News that they'd essentially exhausted the physical places they knew to search. At that point, he hoped the posters themselves might reach Hannah. If she were experiencing another fugue, perhaps seeing her own face on a missing person flyer would make her realize something was wrong. But searching St. Thomas after Irma was extraordinarily difficult. The island was in crisis. Homes had been destroyed. People had lost everything. Resources were stretched thin, and Hannah's family and friends were painfully aware that they were asking people dealing with their own disasters to focus attention on one missing American woman. But still, they kept looking. They searched the places Hannah might have gone. They followed possible sightings. They considered whether she'd entered another fugue, whether she'd swum away from Sapphire Beach, whether she'd somehow boarded a boat, whether she was somewhere on St. Thomas unable to recognize herself, or whether something entirely different had happened. But this time, there would be no phone call, no stranger recognizing her, no ferry captain spotting her in the water. The clothes Hannah left at Sapphire Beach remain one of the final, tangible traces of her. Her case remains classified as endangered missing, and as of August 2026, she has never been found. And because no one knows what happened after Hannah reached Sapphire Beach, the final hours of her story remain completely open. Did Hannah enter the water? Was she experiencing another fugue? Did the trauma of Hurricane Irma trigger something? Could someone as strong in the water as Hannah really have drowned without ever being recovered? Or did Hannah somehow leave St. Thomas during one of the most chaotic moments in the island's history? Well, those are the questions we're going to look at next.
Hello, it is Ryan, and we could all use an extra bright spot in our day, couldn't we? Just to make up for things like sitting in traffic, doing the dishes, counting your steps, you know, all the mundane stuff. That is why I'm such a big fan of Chumba Casino. Chumba Casino has all your favorite social casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere with daily bonuses. So sign up now at chumbacasino.com. That's chumbacasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
Andy and Anna here from your new favorite podcast, No Such Thing as a Fish.
Yes, we are two of the four hosts of the podcast that stuffs fascinating, amazing, weird, mad facts into your ears on a weekly basis. You got any good facts, Andy?
Yes, how about this one? Anteaters have evolved on 12 separate occasions.
Wow.
Mysterious. Wonderful.
The world really wants them to exist. What about this one? When Ronald Reagan left office, he left a note on the White House lawn for the squirrels, warning them to beware of George Bush's dogs.
So there you go. If you like fascinating facts and much more besides, we are No Such Thing as a Fish.
There's an obvious explanation for what happened to Hannah. She went swimming at Sapphire Beach and drowned. And if this were almost anyone else's case, I think that's probably where I would land. But this isn't just anyone. This is Hannah Up. And that's what makes it so difficult to accept the simplest explanation without asking a lot more questions. And first, the conditions around St. Thomas were anything but normal. Hurricane Irma had just torn through the Virgin Islands, and Hurricane Maria was approaching. The ocean Hannah knew intimately had been affected by an enormous weather system. So even though Hannah was an exceptionally strong swimmer, that doesn't make her invincible. A strong swimmer can still be overwhelmed by currents, exhaustion, injury, or changing sea conditions. So yes, I think it's completely possible Hannah entered the water that morning and something went wrong. But some people on St. Thomas question that theory for a very practical reason. Where's her body? Hannah's friend Jacob Bradley, the Army veteran and EMT, searched the coastline by rescue boat. He believed if Hannah had drowned, her body would likely surface within several days. He even went to the morgue and examined unidentified bodies. But none was Hannah. Her mother Barbara encountered similar skepticism from people who knew the waters around Sapphire Beach. One local worker told her he simply didn't believe Hannah had gone into the ocean. His reasoning was that people who drown in that area generally come back towards shore relatively quickly. Of course, that's not proof Hannah didn't drown. Ocean currents are complicated, particularly after a major hurricane, and a body not being recovered doesn't establish that someone survived. But it does leave that door open. And then there's the theory that is impossible to separate from Hannah's story. Did Hurricane Irma trigger another fugue? We know that dissociative fugue can be associated with severe psychological trauma. And natural disasters are among the types of traumatic experiences described in medical literature. Hannah had just survived an extraordinary one. She had sheltered through a Category 5 hurricane while her home shook around her. She emerged to find the island she loved almost unrecognizable. Her routines were gone. Her community was traumatized. People were evacuating. And another hurricane was approaching. And shortly before she disappeared, people close to Hannah noticed subtle changes in her behavior. None of that proves she was entering a fugue. But knowing her history, I think it's very difficult to dismiss. There's also something about all three disappearances that I keep coming back to. Water. The first time Hannah disappeared, she was eventually found in New York Harbor. The second time, she returned to awareness in a creek in Maryland. The third time, her belongings were found at Sapphire Beach. Three disappearances, three encounters with water. Hannah's mother eventually consulted Richard Lowenstein, a psychiatrist who had extensive experience treating dissociative disorders and fugue patients. He described fugue as involving an almost overwhelming drive to get away. People can travel or keep moving even while their ordinary autobiographical identity is inaccessible. Modern psychiatry still doesn't fully understand why a particular person moves toward a particular place. Maybe Hannah was drawn toward water simply because she loved it. Maybe swimming was so deeply embedded in her life that even when other parts of her identity became inaccessible, the water remained familiar. Or maybe we're creating meaning from coincidence. Barbara herself has been very careful about that. She told The New Yorker she wanted Hannah's experience to remain partly a mystery rather than forcing connections that couldn't actually be proven. And I think she's right. But I also think that if Hannah was experiencing another fugue, drowning isn't the only possibility. Because people in fugue states can travel. And September 2017 was probably one of the easiest moments imaginable for someone to leave St. Thomas without following an ordinary travel itinerary. Boats were everywhere. People were evacuating. Mercy ships were transporting residents away from the devastation and ahead of Hurricane Maria. Hannah's friends checked the manifest they could find and didn't see her name. But her loved ones have continued to consider the possibility that she boarded some kind of other vessel and left St. Thomas. The Charlie Project notes possible destinations including Puerto Rico, St. Croix, the Bahamas, and Florida. And based on Hannah's history, I can't completely dismiss that. We've already seen that during a fugue, Hannah could move through the world. She could walk, she could interact with strangers, she could make decisions, she could travel considerable distances, and she could do all of it without later remembering. Imagine that happening in the aftermath of Irma. Thousands of people being displaced, boats are coming and going, communications unreliable. Everyone has a legitimate reason to look exhausted, confused, dirty, or traumatized. A woman acting slightly strange might not stand out at all. And if Hannah somehow boarded a boat during that chaos, the geography opens dramatically. St. Thomas sits east of Puerto Rico amid an enormous network of Caribbean islands. Once Hannah reached another port, there would be countless directions she could potentially go. And that's the theory her family has held on to. Maybe Hannah didn't disappear in St. Thomas. Maybe she disappeared from St. Thomas. Now the problem is, what happens next? Hannah's previous fugues ended. Eventually, she remembered herself. So if Hannah left the island and survived, why didn't she eventually come back? Could this episode have lasted that much longer? Could she have suffered an injury? Could she have remained unidentified or homeless somewhere? These possibilities exist. But as the years pass without a confirmed sighting, I think they become increasingly difficult to reconcile with what we know about her previous experiences. But there have been reported sightings. Tips have continued to come in, including possible sightings shared through efforts to find Hannah. But none has been publicly confirmed as Hannah. And then, Almost a year after she disappeared, something happened that raised another disturbing possibility. In September 2018, an adult skeleton reportedly washed ashore on an uninhabited island near St. Thomas. The remains were badly decomposed. So badly that identifying information could not be recovered, and publicly available accounts have not established that they belonged to Hannah. So we have to be extremely careful with that. Those remains are not known to be Hannah Up. But until they can be conclusively identified or excluded, there are another unanswered question hanging over this case. Now, when you put all three disappearances beside one another, the third looks both eerily familiar and frighteningly different. In New York, Hannah disappeared during a major transition and ended up in the water. She survived. In Maryland, she lost time again and resurfaced near water. She survived. In St. Thomas, Hannah had just endured an enormous psychological and environmental upheaval. People noticed changes in her behavior. Her belongings were found beside the ocean. And then the pattern breaks, because Hannah doesn't come back. And that's why I don't think we can confidently say Hannah drowned. But I also don't think we can confidently say she entered another fugue. We don't actually know that she went into the water. We don't know that she boarded a boat. We don't know that the behavior people noticed before she disappeared was the beginning of another episode. And we don't know whether Hurricane Maria, arriving only days later, destroyed evidence that might otherwise have answered some of those questions. What we do have is a collection of possibilities. Maybe Hannah went for an ordinary morning swim and was caught by dangerous post-hurricane conditions. Maybe Irma triggered another dissociative fugue, and Hannah went toward the water as she apparently had before. Maybe she came back out. Maybe she walked away from Sapphire Beach. Maybe she boarded one of the boats leaving St. Thomas and continued traveling without knowing who she was. Or maybe something happened that has nothing to do with her previous disappearances at all. Her history is useful, but it can also become a trap. Once you know Hannah disappeared twice before because of dissociative fugue, it's incredibly tempting to make every detail of the third disappearance fit that explanation. But we simply don't have enough evidence to do that. Now, Barbara spent months on St. Thomas searching for her daughter, supported financially in part by her Quaker community. She drove Hannah's car and visited the places Hannah loved, not only because she was still looking, but because occupying Hannah's world made her feel closer to her. I can't imagine how strange that must have felt, driving your daughter's car down the roads she drove, going to the beaches where she swam, looking across the same water she looked across every day, and constantly wondering whether she was somewhere just beyond it. Because that's the possibility that makes Hannah's case so haunting. We've already seen her disappear into plain sight before. We've already seen strangers interact with her without realizing anything was wrong. And we've already seen Hannah survive situations that looked almost impossible. So, where is Hannah now? I don't know. And despite years of searches, tips, and possible sightings, neither does anyone else. As of August 2026, Hannah remains classified as an endangered missing person. But there are still tips to follow. There are still unidentified remains to identify. And there's still a family waiting for the one thing Hannah managed to give them twice before. An answer.
Hello, it is Ryan, and we could all use an extra bright spot in our day, couldn't we? Just to make up for things like sitting in traffic, doing the dishes, counting your steps, you know, all the mundane stuff. That is why I'm such a big fan of Chumba Casino. Chumba Casino has all your favorite social casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere with daily bonuses. So sign up now at chumbacasino.com. That's chumbacasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
Andy and Anna here from your new favorite podcast, No Such Thing as a Fish.
Yes, we are two of the four hosts of the podcast that stuffs fascinating, amazing, weird, mad facts into your ears on a weekly basis. You got any good facts, Andy?
Yes, how about this one? anteaters have evolved on 12 separate occasions.
Wow.
Mysterious. Wonderful.
The world really wants them to exist. What about this one? When Ronald Reagan left office, he left a note on the White House lawn for the squirrels, warning them to beware of George Bush's dogs.
So there you go. If you like fascinating facts and much more besides, we are no such thing as a fish.
Hannah's story is a reminder that when you travel somewhere hurricane-prone, the emergency plan matters just as much as the itinerary. Atlantic hurricane season runs from June 1st through November 30th, with the most dangerous period in the U.S. Virgin Islands generally falling from mid-August through October. Now, that doesn't mean I wouldn't visit St. Thomas during those months, but I would travel differently. If a major hurricane were approaching an island I was visiting, I would not wait until the last minute to decide whether to leave. Islands have limited flights and limited ways off. And once thousands of people are trying to evacuate at the same time, those options can disappear quickly. And surviving the hurricane itself isn't necessarily the end of the emergency. Afterward, you could be dealing with no electricity, unreliable cell service, blocked roads, limited medical care, damaged accommodations, and closed airports. Now, the CDC recommends preparing for those disruptions ahead of time, including having adequate medication, emergency supplies, and a plan for communicating with family. I'd also consider travel insurance, particularly during hurricane season. But I'd read the policy carefully and make sure it actually covers weather-related cancellations, trip interruption, and medical emergencies, and evacuation. Once a hurricane becomes a known or named event, it may be too late to purchase coverage for that particular storm. And communication is equally important. Someone at home should have your itinerary and know where you're staying. Keep emergency contacts and copies of important identification somewhere besides your phone. And after a disaster, as soon as you're able, tell someone where you are, where you're planning to stay, and when they should expect to hear from you again. I'd make it incredibly simple. I'm safe. I'm here. If you don't hear from me by tomorrow, start checking. And after a hurricane, I would be especially cautious around the water. Hurricanes can create dangerous rip currents even far from the center of the storm. So check local water conditions, swim near lifeguards, and never swim alone. Being a strong swimmer doesn't make you stronger than the ocean. And knowing a beach doesn't mean you know what that same beach is like immediately after a Category 5 hurricane. Today, St. Thomas is still absolutely somewhere I would visit. It's part of the U.S. Virgin Islands, and local emergency officials provide hurricane information and alerts for residents and visitors. So the lesson isn't don't go to St. Thomas. It's don't confuse paradise with predictability. Know how you'll leave if you need to. Know where you'll shelter if you can't. Have insurance, identification, and an emergency contact plan. And most importantly, after a major storm, don't assume the danger ended when the wind stopped. Sometimes that's when everything becomes the most unpredictable. After 3 episodes and 3 disappearances, I don't want Hannah Up to be remembered simply as a mystery or a diagnosis. Hannah was a daughter, a sister, a beloved teacher, and a loyal friend. She was a traveler, a dancer, an incredible swimmer. She cared deeply about her students and the communities she became part of. And she's still missing. Hannah disappeared from St. Thomas on September 14, 2017. She would now be 41 years old. She's 5'7", approximately 120 to 130 pounds, with brown hair and brown eyes. Hannah has 3 distinctive tattoos: a triangle with a wave inside on her right ankle, a sunflower on her right thigh, and a modified Venus symbol on the lower left side of her torso. Her NamUs case number is MP50503. Anyone with information about Hannah's whereabouts should contact the Virgin Islands Police Department at 340-772-5605. Hannah's family has not been able to give up hope, because twice Hannah disappeared, and twice, somehow, she made it home. When she vanished for the third time, everyone waited for her to do it again. Now, nearly 9 years later, they are still waiting. If you know anything about what happened to Hannah Up, please make that call. And finally, remember to leave a review and rate this podcast 5 stars if you like the show, or hell, even if you don't. But either way, feel free to let me know what you think. Please follow The Last Trip on Instagram at The Last Trip Crime Pod, and subscribe on Patreon to support the show. You'll get extra research, videos, photos, and updates, and even learn more about my personal travels. That's patreon.com/thelasttrippodcast. I'm Jamie Beebe, bringing you your last trip and signing off until the next one. Thanks for listening.
Bubba Wallace here from 2311 Racing. You know what's slower than a pace car? Waiting at the car wash. That's when I fire up Chumba Casino. It turns those slow minutes into fast fun. With new games every week, you'll never get bored. Next time you're stuck in the slow lane, speed up with Chumba. Play now at ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
Sponsored by Chumba Casino. No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
Andy and Anna here from your new favorite podcast, No Such Thing as a Fish.
Yes, we are two of the four hosts of the podcast that stuffs fascinating, amazing, weird, mad facts into your ears on a weekly basis. You got any good facts, Andy?
Yes, how about this one? Anteaters have evolved on 12 separate occasions.
Wow.
Mysterious. Wonderful.
The world really wants them to exist. What about this one? When Ronald Reagan left office, he left a note on the White House lawn for the squirrels, warning them to beware of George Bush's dogs.
So there you go. If you like fascinating facts and much more besides, we are No Such Thing as a Fish.
How to have fun anytime, anywhere. Step one, go to ChumbaCasino.com.
ChumbaCasino.com. Got it.
Step two, collect your welcome bonus.
Come to Papa, welcome bonus.
Step three, play hundreds of casino-style games for free.
That's a lot of games, all for free.
Step four, unleash your excitement.
Woohoo!
Chumba Casino has been delivering thrills for over a decade. So claim your free welcome bonus now and live the Chumba life. Visit ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
Andy and Anna here from your new favorite podcast, No Such Thing as a Fish.
Yes, we are two of the four hosts of the podcast that stuffs fascinating, amazing, weird, mad facts into your ears on a weekly basis. You got any good facts, Andy?
Yes, how about this one? Anteaters have evolved on 12 separate occasions.
Wow.
Mysterious. Wonderful.
The world really wants them to exist. What about this one? When Ronald Reagan left office, he left a note on the White House lawn for the squirrels, warning them to beware of George Bush's dogs.
So there you go. If you like fascinating facts and much more besides, we are No Such Thing as a Fish.